Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with another lesson under the topic of the application of redemption. That is, how the Holy Spirit is applying the work of Christ to our hearts and causing us to follow Him. We're also talking about this subject under the heading of seeking the Lord. As you may recall, God's purpose for you and for me is that we seek the Lord. This purpose is given to us by the Apostle Paul in Acts 17. This is why he put all of us on the face of the earth, that we should seek after God. Now, when we do this, certain things occur in our lives as God applies redemption to our hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit. The hostility in our hearts must be overcome, and God in His grace convicts us of our sins. He gives us the illumination of the Holy Spirit, so we see the beauty of Christ, and we turn to Christ, not because we are fearful of judgment which is to come, but because we see the loveliness of the gospel and we desire to partake in the gospel. And God also, by the power of His Spirit, sovereignly causes us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And as you may recall, God, through the prophet Ezekiel, tells us that when He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit and changes our hearts, He causes us to walk in His statutes and be very careful to observe His ordinances. This is God's promise to us. And how do we respond to the gospel? What is the proper response to the gospel in this order of the application of salvation? Well, in this lesson I'm talking about two things very specifically. The first is conversion, and the second is uniting to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our last lesson centered on the idea of conversion, but as you may recall, conversion consists of two parts. To respond to the gospel, you and I must repent of our sins. That is, we turn away from that which is evil and turn to Jesus Christ. We trust in Jesus Christ as the only Lord and Savior. To simply turn away from sin would be only reformation. And God is interested in more than simple reformation. He wants complete change. And change comes when we not only turn away from sin, but trust in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ consists in our properly understanding the gospel, that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, that He died on the cross, that He rose again from the dead, that He ascended into heaven, that He sits presently at the right hand of God the Father as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And from that position, having received the gift of the Holy Spirit, He pours out that Holy Spirit upon people like you and me. And thus He applies the work of Jesus Christ to our hearts. And so faith in Jesus Christ involves understanding and knowing about the work of Jesus Christ. But it's not enough just to know about the work of Jesus Christ. You must assent to the fact that it is true. You must believe that it is true, that Jesus Christ actually did live a perfect life, die on that cross, and rise again from the dead, ascend into heaven, and is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You must believe these things are true. Some people say, well, I know the story of Jesus Christ, but I certainly do not believe that these stories are true. And so they do not have true faith in Jesus Christ. faith in Jesus Christ involves knowledge, knowing that the gospel is true, assent to the fact that these things are indeed true, and then finally trust in Jesus Christ. You actually do place faith in Jesus Christ and say to Jesus Christ, I have nothing to offer to you or to your Father. I am guilty of sin and I know I deserve eternal punishment. Please indeed forgive me of my sin and embrace me in your love and assure me by sealing to my heart by your Holy Spirit that I have faith in you, Jesus Christ. You actually lay yourself bare and trust in Jesus Christ, and you confess Jesus as Lord. But Jesus also says that you must confess me before men. And what this involves is uniting with the Church of Jesus Christ. Here is what the Apostle Paul was told when it was time for him, after going through a deep period of conviction and darkness, listen to what was told him by Ananias. And now, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Ananias, not really ready to come to the Apostle Paul, because Paul had been full of hostility, but Jesus Christ changed him. Ananias now delivers this message to him. Don't wait. Call upon the name of the Lord. That is, trust Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ. But what must you also do? And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Baptism is an outward sign of the inward dealing of God by the Holy Spirit. It is a sign of outward washing, signifying the inward cleansing and washing of the Holy Spirit. And what did the Apostle Paul do before he was recognized as the Apostle? He was baptized. He arose and was baptized. And this meant that he united with the church at Damascus, which was in fear and trembling concerning him. But he appeared before those people and gave his testimony and was baptized. This was in accordance with the Great Commission. Listen to the Great Commission again. Matthew 28, verses 16 and following. And the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Yes, Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And how is it that disciples are to be made? Notice that Jesus Christ defines the making of disciples by appending two participles to the command, which describe how these disciples are to be made. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Unite with the church. Be baptized. Disciples are made by baptizing them first and then by teaching them. These are the two things commanded by Jesus Christ in the making of disciples. And so, you and I must unite with the Church of Jesus Christ by being baptized. This is what baptism does. It unites us visibly with the body of Christ. And in doing so, we confess the fact that we trust and love Jesus Christ, and we commit ourselves to follow Him. That's the basic idea of baptism here. And then we enter into a time of teaching. And you and I are taught. Discipleship is a lifetime proposition. And this teaching goes on until we pass from this life into the next. And it's only when you and I pass into this, to the next life, that our baptisms are actually fulfilled. How is this the case? Well, it's the case because baptism symbolizes our being cleansed from sin. And we are cleansed from sin completely and made perfect in holiness when we pass from this life in death. And so baptism is fulfilled when we pass from this life, and discipleship, our being taught, is a lifetime proposition. We call the response of repentance and faith the narrow response to the gospel. We call the response of uniting to the Church of Jesus Christ, confessing Him as Lord before a congregation and being baptized and entering into discipleship, our response to the gospel in the broad sense. And so remember, friends, that the proper biblical response to the gospel comes in our being properly converted, that is, in expressing repentance and faith, and in uniting to Jesus Christ, or being united to the church by way of baptism and entering into a time of teaching. And so it is that we become disciples. Respond properly to the gospel, friends. Be born again. Be converted. Unite to a local congregation of the Church of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.